Today is the 29th day of January. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Wow, we are rounding the corner. It's, a few days left in this first month of the year. That's crazy, but it is what it is. I am grateful to be here with you today on this 29th day of January. Back around the global campfire, back here to take another step forward right now in this very dramatic odyssey. This showdown to set the children of Israel free from slavery in Egypt. God has determined they will be set free. Pharaoh, who believes he is a god, has determined he does not know the God of the Hebrews, the slave god. What does he have to listen to this slave god about? I guess we'll soon enough see. Exodus chapters 8 and 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says. Let my people go, so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs on your whole country. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom and onto your bed, into the houses of your officials and on your people, and into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will come upon you and your people and all your officials.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come upon the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come upon the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord.' Moses said to Pharaoh, 'I leave to you the honor of setting the time for me to pray for you and your officials and your people, that you and your houses may be rid of the frogs, except for those that remain in the Nile.' 'Tomorrow,' Pharaoh said. Moses replied, 'It will be as you say, so that you may know there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials, and your people. They will remain only in the Nile.' After Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. They were piled into heaps, and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt the dust will become gnats.' They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came on people and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. Since the gnats were on people and animals everywhere, the magicians said to Pharaoh, 'This is the finger of God.' But Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the river, and say to him, "This is what the Lord says: Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies. Even the ground will be covered with them." But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. The sign will occur tomorrow. And the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials. Throughout Egypt, the land was ruined by the flies. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God here in the land." But Moses said, "That would not be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God as he commands us." Pharaoh said, "I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the wilderness, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me." Moses answered, "As soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only let Pharaoh be sure that he does not act deceitfully again by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord." Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses, donkeys, and camels, and on your cattle, sheep, and goats. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die.'" The Lord set a time and said, "Tomorrow, the Lord will do this in the land." And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh investigated and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on the people and animals throughout the land." So they took soot from a furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on the people and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh, and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go, so that they may worship me. Or this time, I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For by now, I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you off the earth. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. You still set yourself against my people and will not let them go. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt, from the day it was founded till now. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter, because the hail will fall on every person and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord hurried to bring their slaves and their livestock inside. But those who ignored the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky, so that hail will fall all over Egypt, on people and animals, and on everything growing in the fields of Egypt." When Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both people and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. "This time I have sinned," he said to them. "The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord, for we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer." Moses replied, "When I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop and there will be no more hail, so you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God." The flax and barley were destroyed, since the barley had headed and the flax was in bloom. The wheat and spelt, however, were not destroyed because they ripened later. And Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread out his hands toward the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and thunder had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts. So Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. Matthew 19, 13 through 30. The people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much, and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Psalm 24 of David, a psalm. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Proverbs 6, 1 through 5. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Okay, so the drama that is in the book of Exodus at this point is pretty clear. Plagues are devastating the Egyptians. And Pharaoh had been warned, and God had given signs, but Pharaoh could not conceive of a god higher than himself and the gods of Egypt. So the Nile River, their very source of life, of fresh water, was turned to blood. And frogs invaded the land. Gnats swarmed and infested Egypt. Flies pestered and contaminated the countryside. And the Egyptian livestock died. Then boils began to break out on the bodies of the Egyptians. And then there's this legendary hailstorm that fell from the sky, destroying their agriculture. Their crops are wiped out, their food supply. At each turn, Pharaoh summons Moses and begs for relief from the plague, and that he will acquiesce and let the people go. But when God removes the plague, Pharaoh becomes stubborn and refuses to allow the children of Israel to leave. We may look at the whole thing and go, Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh's just dumb. He's just stupid. Until we can see just how stubborn and hard our hearts can be. In the face of trial after trial after trial. And that is something to consider as we continue the drama in this story. Then we move into the Gospel of Matthew. This is this famous story. It's called the story of the rich young ruler. He asks Jesus a very important question. What do I need to do, teacher, to have eternal life? Jesus responds that the man should obey the commandments, the great commandments, and the man replies that all his life he's obeyed those commandments. And then Jesus understands kind of maybe where his stronghold, maybe what he has him and has a lock on his identity, because he knows this is a rich young ruler. He says, if you want to be perfect, then go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. A direct invitation to become a disciple. And the man departs. He's sad because he's wealthy. And so the thing, right, the thing that has his identity, the thing that is in between him and God is made apparent. And Jesus has a way of doing that. And Jesus has a way of doing that with us. And the Bible has a way of bringing those things to the surface. In this encounter, we see Jesus doing what he does, moving behind the outward facade, beyond the surface, and into the matters of the heart where the truth actually lives. Jesus invited this rich man to get rid of the one thing that gave him status and security, the one thing that was more important to him than God, and then invites him to come follow. So in these words of Jesus, we too have opportunity today to examine our own hearts. What things do we value, or are we pursuing, that are greater or more valuable than our relationship with God? That is a stark question, but if we will actually honestly spend moments allowing the Holy Spirit to surface those things, all of a sudden we can name and label the idols in our lives that we are willing to worship. And in this story, again, we realize the teachings of Jesus are that true life is from within, not what we are presenting from without. And a true life of faith is not a partial, compartmentalized thing. It is all or nothing. And that is a theme that we will notice clearly throughout all of the Gospels and the teachings of Jesus. It is an all or nothing proposition. It is in no way possible to partially be in relationship any more than it is possible for you to partially be in your marriage and it thrive. It's the Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit come into the divisions of our hearts, the ways that we are divided in all of our relationships. ways that we are using people for our own gain, including trying to use you. Expose those things, surface those things that we might name and label these things, these behaviors, these activities, these people, these possessions that we are willing to worship. Things that we believe will bring us life. When you are the author of life. Holy Spirit, come in the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It is the website. It is where you find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app is all of that and more. And coming soon, I know I've been saying that for like a couple years, but coming soon, a lot sooner than that, very, very soon, our new home base in the new app and the new platform. And so keep on the lookout for that. I have the Daily Audio Bible app, and it'll be easy to upgrade to the new one. And so if you haven't got the app, grab the app from the app store that works with your device and dive in. And while you're diving in, check out the community section. This is where to get connected. The prayer wall is there. That's a connection point just within the community here. Different links to the different social media platforms that we have space in are there. So if you are in any of the social media spaces, we probably are too. And just some behind the scenes encouragement and just announcements and stuff like that. Just good to follow along as we take the journey together. So be sure to do that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what we do together by creating this global campfire is life-giving and meaningful, and step-by-step, day-by-day, transformation happens in your life little by little, thank you deeply, humbly, for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's all for today. I am Brian, and I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible listeners. My name is Brad from Illinois, and I'm seeking some prayer request. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, but I have not grown my relationship with him like I should. I've been talking to my pastor recently, and the thought of becoming rebaptized for myself is on my heart a lot. But I am seeking prayer requests as I'm looking to move to Tennessee and find a new job. My kids moved there about a year ago, who are 12 and 9, and being separated from them for the past year has been very hard. And the job market is not what I thought it was. So I'm just seeking some prayer requests that I can hopefully be reunited with my kids soon and find that new job to get me down to them. I know my kids want me down there dearly, and it just is weighing on me more and more as the time passes, not being able to see them daily, weekly. So I just want to thank all of you guys for praying for me, and I hope you all have a blessed day.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. It is Dr. John from Jordan, New York, and Brian, Oh, man. I need something to collect all the brain parts that got blown away by yesterday and talking about us being the priceless pearl that God has spent everything to purchase. That just blew me away and was so insightful. You know, obviously, never thought of it like that at all. So, thank you, Brian. Secondarily, in my men's group, there's a gentleman, Tom. He needs prayers. His school district is not supporting him in a conflict with a student. And, you know, basically it's the blame game. And he needs justice. He needs peace. He has peace. He is so reliant on God. And this has been, you know, part of the good part about this is that he has been relying on God. He's been relying on prayer. We've been praying for him, but I figured I'd bring, you know, a few extra tens of thousands of people in to pray for Tom in his issue at work with the school district. So thank you for your prayers, family. Love you. Dr. John from Jordan, New York, signing off.
Hi, this is Winnie B. I want to pray for Bill in UK, Tilly in Florida, and Jovika. All of us, including myself, have job situations. And for Tilly, my job is also very physical. And it's a few more years before I'm able to retire, so I'm holding on to it. But I work in a team, and I back away from things that are, you know, just a little bit too much for me. But, you know, I'm looking for things, a position that will be lighter. So perhaps with Lowe's, they may have something that you can do that's a little lighter than what you're doing. So I know the feeling about the physical job situation. But for all of us, I just pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you will look upon each of our situations, Father God. And I pray that you would direct and guide us to positions that will be good for us physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, and even financially, God. And I pray for Jovika, God, that you would also grant her accommodation. She wants a good job, a better job. So I just pray, God, for your mercy and grace for all of us and for favor. And I pray, God, for Bill in the UK, God, that you would help him, give him grace to move into something new, if that's your will, God, or perhaps a new company or new positions. I just ask you to bless each of us to find a job that's suitable for us and where you can use us as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, DAB family. Good evening. This is your girl learning to completely trust in the UK. I hope everyone has had a blessed day. And I pray God's blessing on everyone. I'm calling in to ask for prayer for one of my co-workers, the McNeil family. She is one of our nurses, and her father has had surgery, but he's not recovering really well. And now her mom is, you know, not taking the situation really well. So now she's ill, and she's also a single mom of a 8-year-old boy. So asking if you could pray for Lou and her family, her father, her mother, her son, and herself, that God will give her the strength she needs to take care of her parents. As the Bible says, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord thy God has given thee. And so I ask that you will please, please pray for Lou. She's a wonderful nurse. She's a really lovely person. And I pray that, you know, she will just have the strength and the encouragement and the love for herself and her family to keep her going. Thank you so much, DAB family. You've always been supportive. There's no prayer that you haven't given, that I've asked for, that you haven't lifted up to the Lord. And I trust each and every one of you, and I trust God also. So thank you so much, family. thanks, Lou, Lou McNeil and family. Thank you.
On January 19, a call came in from Laura in Colorado on behalf of Ava Johnson, who suffered a C4 vertebrae fracture. God, we lift up this precious young lady, Ava, and we pray for healing and restoration in this vertebrae. We pray that greater feeling will come back to her and that this young woman will regain her ability to move and walk. God, we also lift up Dr. John in Illinois, friend, Steve, who is in a hospital in Texas, also battling cancer. And Dr. John, we think of you, dear brother. God bless you in your walk as you lost your wife in March. But Father, God, right now we lift up Steve and we pray for a miracle of healing, that truly God is able to do above and beyond what we ask or even think. So God, we pray for a miracle for this precious man and that he also will be restored. To you do we give the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name. This is Alan in Southern Litchfield County, Connecticut.
Hello, family. Drew from the Bay Area. I'm calling today with a praise report that I've reunited with my daughter and my granddaughter, and I'm asking you to pray for my daughter, Marin. She's got a big day today. I know you'll get this late, but I hope to call you back with a praise report. She is interviewing with some of the top people that she works with, and appreciate your prayers. And with the faith of Joseph, I've been able to forgive betrayal and things that happened to all of us, and we think we're the only ones. And God does work in our hearts to deliver us from that bitterness and makes us better. He shows his love to us. It's amazing love. Thank you, family.